Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. How many of you are into poetry? How many of you have a poetry ministry? You do realize the Bible is full of poems, right? The Book of Psalms is mainly poetry, the Book of Solomon and others. Today is part two of my two-part interview with a man of God that is making a godly impact in this world through poetry. Lloyd Portman is a good friend of mine. He's from down under in New Zealand, and his heart is 100% all in for God and all that he does. And he's put together a ministry program outlined on his website and in his podcast. Oh, his podcast is absolutely awesome. It's called GodCastingHub.com, and you need to go there and check out all he has to offer. But today, we'll continue our discussion on how the Lord just supernaturally bestowed the gift of writing poetry to him. His story is riveting, and I know you'll get a lot out of this interview, and I truly encourage you to go down into the show notes and get in touch with Lloyd after listening to the rest of this interview, of course. Now, let's jump back into the interview with Lloyd Portman. I could never get, you know, the rhymes to rhyme or the, you know, the prose to end right. It was always out of sync in some form or fashion. Which method do you find yourself using most of the time, and does that come easy for you?
Well, as I said, when I first wrote those five poems, I wrote them in rhyme, four stanzas, because that's how poetry was written. Mm-hmm. And I carried on writing like that and writing and writing, and in my guts, I just knew there was something wrong, there was something missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And right from day one, when I started writing poetry, for some reason, I don't know how this happened, but I started teaching it to different people, because they would read my poem, and then they would write one, and then I'd help them rewrite their own poem. Mm. And anyway, I was talking to one of the people that I had taught, and she said, "Oh," she said, "I've changed my style. I've stopped doing this and I've started writing prose." And I said, "Oh, yeah." And I had a look at her poetry, and something twigged inside me, and I thought, "Yep, this is where I've got to go." Mm. Well, I had about 1,500 poems in a big ring binder. Mm. And one day when I was living in Tasmania, I thought, okay, I've got to do something about this. So one morning, and it was winter, I got up, lit the fire, made myself a coffee, sat down in front of the fire, undid the compendium and ring binder, and read every single poem and threw it into the fire and watched it burn. And I burnt the whole collection. Wow. I didn't write a single poem for probably 3 months. I then had some requests to write some poems for a wedding or a funeral. I can't quite remember. And I wrote those. And normally I keep a copy of the poem that I've written. Well, I didn't keep any copies. I just sent it off. And 3 months later, after that first initial one, I started writing again. And the very first poem I started writing after I burnt my whole collection was in prose form, and I've never looked back.
Wow. Amen. That's awesome.
But it had to be sacrificed first.
Amen. 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 How is your poetry different from, you know, like the average poetry someone might be reading or is available out there?
One of the things that I find is that, and it's interesting how you can't actually define it yourself. You have to have it defined to you by a reader. Mm. But one of the guys that was teaching me a bit of computer stuff, he's actually a panel beater, and He said, I can't wait for you to write a book. And I said, why is that? And he said, oh, he said, there's something about your stuff. He said, I take your poetry to work. And he said, and I read it at our tea breaks. Mm. And he said, there's always one or two lines in it that just stick in me like a rhema does out of the Bible. He says, and I can't sort of step around it. It just goes into me. And he said, it just keeps on being recalled and I meditate on it. So he said, I can read one of your poems at morning break. And he said, I can think about that for the next 24 hours, no problem.
Amen. Amen.
So that's how it sort of
That's what you evolved. Mean by, you know, don't read the poems, you let them read you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I've got a really interesting story. We were in the small town that I was pastoring. There was another pastor in the town, and we were both working with this young guy that had his life all in tatters. So we found a place for him to go to, and he could, like a halfway house, and he could go there for 6 months. So we made a decision to take him over on this particular day. And I was getting ready to go. Anyway, God said to me, are you going to write a poem? And I sort of looked around and said, why? And he said, for the lady. And I says, oh, okay. And I sat down at my desk and God dictated the poem. Like it came down a chute at me and I actually had to to say, slow down, I can't write this down. And so anyway, I wrote it all out and it was when I was writing in stanzas at the time and rhyme. Anyway, I gave it to my wife and she looked at it, and she's really, really good at English. And she said to me, well, this is one of the best poems probably you've ever written because there's no mistakes. It must have been God. Yeah. So anyway, off we went, dropped the boy off, and the lady that we were meant to meet wasn't there to meet us because she was called away on an emergency. So I gave the card, sealed card, to her son to give it to her. Well, she rang up a couple of days later and thanked me very much for the card. And then about 6 weeks later, she wrote me an email and she said, you don't realize what happened, and I have to tell you the story. She said, while I was reading your poem the first time, she said, I started weeping. And my husband saw me weeping and he came over and he said, what's the matter? And she said, oh, this poem I've been given. And she said, it's really affected me, you know. And he said, oh, wow. He says, well, can I read it? And she said, yes. Now, this guy at the time was backslidden, was pointing fingers at God, having to get a whole lot of his life justified and everything. Mm-hmm. And she was a full-on real, you know, full-on Christian lady. And anyway, so he read the poem. And he said, wow, that's amazing. Well, in the next month, he rededicated his life to Jesus. Wow. And really, really got properly saved.
Amen.
And then a month later, he died.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Totally restored to the Lord.
Wow. Well, that, praise God. Amen.
Yeah. So, and it was just one of those poignant moments.
So poetry is like a way to break through the mental blocks and actually talk to the spirit man, the soul of the person.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Is poetry a way of expressing gratitude? You know, you hear about people keeping gratitude journals. Is writing poetry a way for someone to do that on a deeper spiritual level?
It is. But at the end of the day, what poetry actually is, if you wanted to sort of define it, is that it's either a heart cry or a heart transaction that happens on paper, because it's an expression, right? So, if, for example, if you had to write a poem to your wife, you know, what would you be wanting to really sort of give to her, not just words on a paper? You'd be wanting to impart something to her that would really mean something to her, specifically just for her personally, not as a generic. You know, you can You can copy and paste all sorts of stuff, but not this. Because it's got to be sincere. It's got to be from your heart to their heart. And it's got to have that ping ability that really gets into the heart and stays there. It's almost like it cements in there and they can't walk away from it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's good. Amen. That's good. You make a distinction between purpose in life and the meaning in life. Can you explain that a little bit more for our listeners?
The purpose of life and the meaning of life usually conflict because we know what, or we try to define the meaning of life, but we don't know how to fit into that meaning as our purpose, because our purpose is the unfolding of the person that we really are and our giftings and abilities and the sphere of influence that God has given to us. I mean, as I'm speaking, God showed me something, which is awesome. He shows me a puzzle, okay? Now, if you look at a puzzle, it doesn't matter which part you look at, it's specifically cut to fit into a specific space, okay? Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is that unless it's an outside piece or a corner piece, that piece fits into other pieces, mm-hmm. okay? So it's got surrounding pieces around it. Now, in the spirit, that is your sphere of influence, okay?
Amen.
And when you look at the purpose of your life in that sphere of influence, that's what the puzzle is. And you're part of other people and they are part of you. So there's a joint sharing that goes on between you. And I've got this principle that if you open up the palm of your hand and you count the number of fingers on it, provided you haven't had any accidents, you've got five, okay? That's all the significant relationships you have on a heart-to-heart basis. The rest are just acquaintances.
Amen.
And if you look at a piece of a puzzle, it's usually got three or four or five nodules on it. Mm-hmm. And that's the pictorial picture of your sphere of influence. And I'm not talking about just casually talking about something. I'm talking about real heart to heart. Because when you have a relationship with someone, it doesn't matter if you haven't seen them for 10 years. If they're one of those five fingers, you just carry on from where you left off the last time, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Just happens naturally, doesn't it?
Amen. That's good.
You don't have to sweat it. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say or anything. It just flows. It's just like a river.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's good. Do you teach people how to write poetry?
I do, but I've done quite a bit of it more like one-on-one with people rather than classes. Mm-hmm. And I usually have done it when I'm on the tools working with different people, and like that guy in the mines, I did that where I taught another guy. He was an electrician, and I was on a building site in Auckland at the time. And it was Valentine's Day the next day, and he said, "Oh, so you're going to write me a poem for my wife?" I said, "No, you are." He says, "Oh," he said, "I can't even spell my name." I said, "Join the club." But I said, "You're going to write it to your wife because you know her. I don't. I can give you some guidelines." So I did. And he came back to me the next day and he just grabbed hold of my hand. I thought he was going to break every bone in my hand because he shook it so hard. Wow. Because he learned how to touch his wife's heart. That's all.
Amen.
And this is what we've got to do. When we touch hearts with each other, the relationship goes to a totally different level. And the meaning of life, I believe, is to stay open and teachable and to be able to hear each other's heart. That's the whole thing. When we can hear each other's heart, look out, world.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lloyd, do you have any published books on poetry, or are you planning on publishing any?
It's interesting you ask that question, because I'm about to look at publishing something, but I've got a website that I'm just formulating at the moment, where you get a daily poem every day into you go and log into the login of the membership site, and there's going to be a new poem there every day. And what it is, it's going to have a poem, then it's going to have a reflection, and then it's going to have questions. And one of the ones that I'm going to do, it's called Today's Bread, Here's Your Slice, and it's basically a Christian one. Mm-hmm. And in the past, the content in this stuff has actually been used for study groups. And they grab the poem, they read it, they have the discussion over the whole thing of the reflection and the questions. And there's scriptures there usually too. And sometimes I throw a quote in there. But the whole thing is to get engagement, because I believe when you engage with this stuff, it has far more deeper meaning. And I was studying the word way back in the day, and I was absolutely gobsmacked or God-smacked when I was looking up a word, because what I used to do was I used to go and grab my scripture, and then I go and get the Hebrew or the Greek meaning of all the different words that were quickened to me and expound on them. And when I read, I think it's Ephesians 4:10 or 10:4 or somewhere, where it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." The word workmanship literally means, in the Greek, poema. Mm. We are God's poem.
Amen. That's a wow.
And when you think of it, it's the weaving of the words. It's the ability to grab those words and really set them in your heart and speak to the heart, that this is where the power is in this whole thing. Amen. And when you read Brian Simmons' Passion Translation, he's big on this. He brings out the number of places in the scriptures where the word poema is actually referred to and is the root word. God is an amazing poet.
Yeah, amen, amen.
And every now and again, we go down to the park. We've got a wonderful botanical gardens here in Christchurch City. And I have a day off, and I take my lunch and some coffee and a couple of flasks of coffee, and I go and I sit in the park, and he and I write together. And I write one line, he writes another. I write one line, he writes another. We have a ball.
Amen, amen.
Fun.
Amen. Is this poetry going to be your legacy, if you want to call it that?
Probably, but I, as I said, as we've talked about before, I use it as a tool, you know, and to get into people's hearts. Because I tell you, one of the things that concerns me about life, and we all suffer from it, so I even put up my own hand, is that we all need to define ourselves, and we all need to have our own understanding of our gifting, our abilities, where we fit into that sphere of life, and our sources of influence to and from. And so I use poetry a lot to define people. And I was talking to a lady in Perth recently, because she wanted me to go and visit her father, and we got talking about our Christian walk and everything, and because I'd been to different churches in Perth, and we were talking about the same sorts of people, and she started sort of telling me some stuff, and in my stomach I just knew that there was something wrong. This poor lady was rejected, I felt.
Yeah,
by the church because of the way she felt and thought. And because being a pastor is, I don't know what, how to say this quote, but you don't know how often to articulate God to all the different personalities and all the different people groups that you associate with, okay? And, you know, you go into a certain place and you don't fit there and you get two options. Either you suck it up or there's the door. Amen. And she was one of these people that had seen a few doors. And I just knew I had to define something to her. So we got off the phone and I sat straight down and I just started writing. And I wrote this beautiful poem for her. And then the next thing was that God said to me, go and check out her name. And so I did. And I found a place in the poem where I could put her name and him speaking to her, okay? So I did that, sent it off to her. Well, I got virtually a bounced back email saying, you don't know what you have just written. Anyway, 2 days later, after she got herself up off the floor, she said, the scripture you sent to me on the bottom of the poem was so relevant to where I was on that day. But she said, God calls me the name that you wrote into the poem.
Oh, wow. Amen.
I didn't know any of that, but God did.
Amen.
And this is the prophetic part, I suppose, which I love about this whole work, because when you start building people up, you know, that's what they need. We all need to know our own identity.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. Amen.
And when we do, we're powerful. Interesting. You know? Wow.
This is so interesting. As I said earlier, you know, I've never been one to gravitate towards poetry. I mean, in fact, out of the, you know, 1,000 books that I have on my bookshelves around here or in storage or whatever, about the only books I have that have poems in them are the different versions of the Bible, you know, in Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, all of that. Yeah. But you put a different twist on it for sure. Amen. Yeah. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or read some of your poems, to talk to you about using poetry and building their relationships up, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Just go to my website, godcastinghub.com. That's where my podcasting platform is. And for you listeners, Bob actually taught me all I know about podcasting, so I have him to thank. And so I'm using that as my website. And what I've done is the podcasts that I've done are sharing all my little experiences that I've had with God, because while I was talking to God 6 months ago, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, look, I want you to start podcasting and sharing the experiences we have together. Amen. Amen. And I mean, God said some pretty amazing things to me over my life, and I share them on there, and it's all part of the wonderful story of the journey that I've had with God, and I share it open-heartedly. I've got nothing to hide. So it's all on the God Casting Hub. And just go in there and contact me on the contact form and it'll get to me, and we can start talking. And I'm going to have the poetry pages on that site. So they'll be in the products.
Amen, amen. Folks, you know, Lloyd Portman is about as real as you can get. I mean, he's been doing this a while now. You've heard his story and the examples and how God just uses him to reach out and touch to people's heart. You know, it's so cool. You've heard how he got started down a path. It's not something he sought out. God sought him out. Amen. And I encourage you to get in touch with Lloyd. Go down to the show notes, reach out, ask him a question, go to his website, look around, you know, get a few of his products. I mean, ask him about them. I'm sure he'd be happy to give you that information. You know, I highly, highly encourage you to improve your relationships, marriage or otherwise, by signing up for his coaching program.
I mean, he's not out to make a quick buck and say, see you later. Okay. He's doing this, as you heard throughout this interview, he's doing this to help people, to help you. So take him up on this. Go to his website, go down the show notes, click on the website, reach out to him, tell him you heard him on the podcast with Pastor Bob. Amen. I mean, Lloyd, it's been great, my friend. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking to you, Bob.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Praise God, it's been good. For Lloyd Portman, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.